AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News.
App.
I'm Mike DeBusky. At the Pentagon this morning, taps played as the nation marks 22 years since the terror attacks that killed 184 people there, 40 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and in New York City, nearly 3,000. Then says ABC's Derek Dennis,
so much has been said about the victims who died inside the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, but Debbie Candia's husband, Pedro, was outside.
He was a police officer.
Working the scene day after day in the days and weeks after 9/11.
He was here for months.
Sadly, Pedro died last year at the age of 58 from a 9/11 related cancer among thousands who've also died from 9/11 related illnesses in the 22 years since the attack.
It's very humbling to be here.
Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
Vice President Kamala Harris among those at Ground Zero this morning. This is ABC News. The Red Cross says a drop in blood donations has contributed to a nationwide shortage, the problem exacerbated by back-to-back climate disasters. The Red Cross says there's a special need for type O blood and platelets. Rain giving parts of Texas a break today from broiling temperatures, but the summer heat wave proved profitable for one company that uses lots of electricity.
With power demand approaching capacity last month, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas pleaded with homeowners.
Hey, can you turn up your AC a bit? Can you not run your dryer?
David Kinchin of Energy Ogre says ERCOT then went to the operators of cryptocurrency mining warehouses.
They went and took an action and said, hey, we're going to go and have these loads turn off to make more room on the grid.
ERCOT paid one Central Texas Bitcoin mining company nearly $32 million to shut down temporarily. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Hawaii's Kilauea volcano erupting again after 2 months of inactivity, not threatening to people or structures. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A lack of affordable childcare in Wisconsin could affect other industries, according to childcare workers. Activists say as more families are squeezed out of affordable childcare every year, more parents are being forced to leave the workforce to take care of their own children. Business owners have also reported that full-time staff members have been forced to cut hours and work irregularly to accommodate childcare needs. Governor Tony Evers called a special session of the legislature to consider picking up funding for childcare in the state. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced they're looking to buy red pine seeds from the public. The collection is part of a reforestation program to replenish red pine trees throughout the state, which have been depleted after years of lacking good cone crops. The Department of Natural Resources will pay Wisconsinites $125 per bushel for properly collected red pine cones, and residents should call Griffith Nursery in Wisconsin Rapids, Wilson Nursery in Boscobel, and Hayward Nursery in Hayward to confirm purchasing is still open. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
This is As Goes Wisconsin, but this is not Kristen Bry. This is Joe Zepecki. I'm sitting in for Kristen. She'll be back tomorrow. Back today, Jane Matinair, back from her world travels. We're not going to yuck anybody's yum.
No.
Or we're going to try not to. I actually don't know if that's possible, given the topic this hour. If you are one of the many Wisconsinites who voted for Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, it may be Robin Voss and Republicans who are yucking your yum. This conversation, this hour, on the impeachment insanity gripping Wisconsin politics is not designed to yuck anybody's yum. We don't want to do that. We want to provide you the facts and the information and the news you can use to be an informed participant in civic life. And so we're going to dive pretty deep on this hour. This being the news that emerged last week when Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester stated at a press conference that he was seriously looking at impeaching newly sworn in, about a month on the job, Justice Janet Protasiewicz. There's been a lot of news in the last month around the state Supreme Court, but this sort of stands apart for what it could mean in the short term, what it could mean in the long term, and we're going to get into some of that this hour. I will say right now, I don't know that we can get into all of it because the implications are so profound, but we're going to try. We're going to have a guest join us shortly. Wisconsin State Representative Evan Goyke, who is an attorney in addition to being a member of the state legislature, and has some great perspective on this.
And if you have questions for Representative Goyke, just text him in, 844-967-2789. We have a couple questions that already came in for him, so will make sure and pose those to him when he joins us.
Excellent. And so let's just start with the why. Why is this happening? Because I think that might actually be the easiest part to understand. The Associated Press yesterday, Scott Bauer, Wisconsin Bureau Chief, filing. The headline reads, GOP threat to impeach a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice is driven by fear of losing legislative edge. The lead, Wisconsin Republicans have enjoyed outsized control of the legislature in one of the most closely divided states for a dozen years. Maintaining that power is now at the heart of a drama involving the state Supreme Court that has national political implications. And so what does that mean? Right now, there has been a case filed just last month to challenge the constitutionality of Wisconsin's legislative district maps. Every 10 years, there is a census. Every 10 years, there is a process known as redistricting, whereby states draw political boundaries for congressional districts, for state Senate districts, for state assembly districts. Since 2010, when that census took place and the numbers came back and the new maps needed to be drawn, Wisconsin Republicans have dominated legislative politics in this state. They took the trifecta of control that they had in 2011 and 2012 when they controlled the state Senate and the state assembly and the governor's mansion, and they carved up Wisconsin into maps that made it virtually impossible for Democrats to have a majority or really even a shot at a majority. And since then, we've of course had the 2020 census. There has been another round of maps. The maps are no better. This is an issue that has been litigated before, frequently, often. And so what we know through that process in the last dozen years is that Wisconsin's maps are rigged, full stop. We know that because a federal court has said so, has said these maps were constructed to give a partisan political advantage to Republicans. We know that because Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said under oath when questioned by Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce in the Wisconsin Capitol, has said under oath, partisan politics were part of the process. That's not a direct quote, but he copped to it, and I'm sure we can find that audio. But saying that these maps are rigged and are designed for partisan political advantage is about as controversial as saying that water is wet, the sky is blue, or grass is green. That's where we are. We have seen in the discovery process and all of this litigation to date, emails from lawmakers literally picking their voters, Republican lawmakers emailing the speaker's team saying, I want this part of that town, but all of this town, because that's where all the Republicans live, literally choosing their voters. And the way that we want this system to work is we want people to choose their representatives, not their representatives to choose the people who are going to vote for them. Okay. So that's a brief history of sort of the gerrymandering fight in Wisconsin.
And can I say too, Joe, I don't want the Democrats to do a gerrymander like this either. I don't think Wisconsinites like cheaters.
Correct. And by virtue of the way that Wisconsin's geography works, it is impossible to do that. Democrats couldn't rig these maps if they wanted to, or if they that was their stated desire. What Democrats from Tony Evers on down want is a independent, nonpartisan redistricting commission.
Absolutely.
To take the politics out of this. What I want is fairer maps, right? I'm not even sure fair, right? Like it would be very difficult to draw a 50-50 map, despite the fact this is a 50-50 state, just due to the way that, you know, people sort and where people live. Fairer maps should mean that there are more competitive districts where sometimes Republicans win and sometimes Democrats win. And I think just more competitive districts would make the entire legislature more responsive to the people of Wisconsin. Because the implications of these maps is that the state legislature does not appear to be very responsive to the people of Wisconsin right now.
And they like it that way.
Oh, on issue after issue, whether it's legalization of cannabis, even for medical purposes, whether it is raising the minimum wage, whether it is accepting the federal expansion of Medicaid available under the Affordable Care Act that 40 states have accepted, including Oklahoma and Mississippi, really, really red conservative states. On all of those issues, like 70% of Wisconsinites say, yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that.
We agree on
these
things.
We want that. But because of the way the legislature has mapped itself into this enduring right-wing majority, they don't have to be responsive to the people of Wisconsin. And that's a problem. It is just a problem for governance in this state. Okay. So where are we now? Where are we today? Why is this coming up again? There are people who believe that these maps are still not constitutionally proper. They're challenging their legality in state courts. And the makeup of the court is different than it used to be. Due to the election of Janet Protasiewicz in April, the majority of the court is now perceived to be progressive for the first time in more than 15 years. And how do we know that? Courts are nonpartisan. Yes, they are. They're technically nonpartisan. But what we have seen in the last 15 to 20 years is the courts have gotten slightly more political. Both political parties, Republicans and Democrats, have gotten a little bit more engaged in these fights. And in the course of her campaign, Justice Protasiewicz declared, water is wet, the sky is blue, and grass is green. That is the level of controversy that should be ascribed to her comments about Wisconsin's political maps. She went on to win resoundingly.
Yes.
Like an 11-point win.
Smoked him.
And now, in the wake of that, Republicans are threatening to impeach her, to remove her from her judicial position, even though she hasn't weighed in on a case, she hasn't ruled on a case. I think she has now heard exactly one. The impeachment of a justice, an officer of the court, is prescribed in the Wisconsin state constitution. You have to commit a crime, or you have to commit an ethical violation. She has not done that. The ethical challenges that have been filed against her frivolously, in my view, have been dismissed by the Wisconsin Judicial Ethics Commission. There is no there. There is no here. They do not have standing or grounds to impeach Justice Protasiewicz. But they're going to apparently try to do it anyways because they are so terrified that she might say or rule these maps are unconstitutional. Go draw fairer maps and bring them back and we may approve them. Because that threatens their judicial hammerlock on the state of Wisconsin due to the maps that they've drawn. And it is possible that their designs, they being the Republicans in this case, are even more nefarious than just, hey, we don't like her, we're going to throw her out of office. Because of the way this process works, the state assembly can impeach her with a majority vote. They, of course, have a majority, almost a supermajority because of these maps. So if they get 50 votes in the assembly, they can impeach her. And then the state Senate, which would need 2/3 to convict, which is 22 out of 33, they could decide we're not actually going to remove her from office because that would mean Tony Evers gets to appoint her replacement. Instead, the state Senate can just decide we're not going to do anything with this. We're just going to let it sit out there, which would have the effect of sidelining Justice Protasiewicz from ruling on any cases for an indeterminate amount of time. And so there is pure politics at play here. It is nonsense. It is insanity. And yet we are apparently going to do this because Republicans are calling the shots. Come on back to As Goes Wisconsin. State Representative Evan Goyke is going to join us after the break to continue the conversation.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to
rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 69. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 47. Cloudy skies. Overcast tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High of 62. Highs level off around 65 Wednesday under mainly sunny skies. 75 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 64.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is guest host Joe Zepecki sitting in for Kristen Bry. She'll be back tomorrow. Jane's on the board, back from her world travels. I didn't even think to ask her about jet lag and what time she thinks it is. Maybe we'll get to that before we're dark. Or you can come back tomorrow and listen to Jane and Kristen. Joining us now, State Representative Evan Goyke, who represents the city of Milwaukee. This hour we are talking about what I'm describing as impeachment insanity here in Wisconsin, which is this Republican threat to impeach new state Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Representative Goyke, appreciate you joining us. Let's just start here, which is when Speaker Voss first floated this, what was your first reaction? Were you surprised? Were you bowled over? Were you like, oh, no, this tracks?
I am not surprised at Voss antics after 11 years of having to work with him, though I will say my initial reaction was that there's no way that it was real, because this is something that has not happened since 1853 and has only happened once in the entire history of the state assembly. And then, you know, in the last week or two, it's become much more real. And I guess I'm not surprised. And just super disappointed that it's even on the table. And as a member of the body of people considering this, it's just absolutely absurd that they would even consider this and talk about it out loud.
Indeed. If you've got a question for Representative Goyke, text 844-967-2789. I want to back up a little bit because I think some of the history and context is important here. And so if you could remind our listeners, what did Republicans in the legislature do after Scott Walker lost the 2018 election to now Governor Tony Evers?
Yeah, we call a little midnight session of the legislature. We call that the lame duck session. So in between the period of Tony Evers and Josh Call winning the statewide election and being sworn into office, that was largely portions of the month of November and December of 2018, they passed a host of bills that made a number of changes to weaken the power of the executive branch and strengthen the power of the legislative branch, give themselves more power and take power away from the newly elected Democratic statewide officers before they even got sworn in.
You could say that's a legislative temper tantrum. You could say that's messing with the will of the voters because they thought they were electing statewide officials with one set of powers, and instead they're saying, we're going to change the rules and do that differently. And our listeners don't need any reminding, but I think it's worth pointing out again that then after the 2020 election, approximately how many state resources were devoted to the big lie and chasing down this fantasy that somehow Donald Trump should have been the president of the United States.
Yeah, this is the disgraced former Justice Michael Gableman, and I will quote investigation around it. I don't know what the exact dollar amount is now, and litigation continues to drag on of costs associated with that. Well over, I think, $2 million. And you should also put the lame duck legislation in that bucket as well, because there were hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of public dollars, spent in litigation trying to defend those actions. So, yeah, there's been a consistent jobs program for lawyers created by legislative temper tantrums in the last couple of years.
Because Republicans don't like the fact they're losing statewide elections. As I have told folks, there have been 17 statewide elections since the presidential election of 2016. 14 of them have been won by Democrats or the candidates supported by Democrats and progressives. And so I just walked through that history because now here we are again. We just had an election in the spring of 2023, and it certainly can be perceived as, once again, for like the third time in a row, Republicans in the legislature don't like the outcome of an election and don't care about the will of the people and are just going to sort of change the rules. I mean, are we wrong to look at it this way? Is it just that political?
Yeah, yes, it is. And I am really interested. It's a sad moment to be serving in the state legislature, but it is in a way incredibly exciting as a student of government. I love politics and all of this. So as somebody that is obsessed with all of this and a total nerd about how it all works, I am interested to see how it plays out. I know that the speaker is saying a lot, and a couple of his caucus members are beginning to trickle out statements or public statements or responses to constituents that they don't favor impeachment. Some of the private conversations that I've had, there's clearly a serious disagreement amongst many Republicans. I think the severity of the action that he's hinted at and the damage it would do to the institution of the state legislature is not lost on some of the Republicans. I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, but it's going to be interesting.
And as I understand it, the state constitution does explicitly spell out the grounds for impeachment. Can you tell our listeners what that is?
Well, I wish that there was more specificity, but impeachment is the assembly has the role of impeachment. That's done by a majority vote in the state assembly. And then the state Senate has the role of trial and conviction and possible removal. The grounds for impeachment in the assembly are for crimes or misdemeanors, and that envisions actual crimes like actual prosecution and conviction by like cops and prosecutors in a real courtroom. And then corruption. And it's just in the Constitution, it's not defined what corruption means. But clearly, and in the one time that the assembly used impeachment, it was corruption in the, you know, personal use of or you know, taking money, taking bribes. And clearly that is not what they're arguing. They're arguing, I think, you know, that taking this case is corruption, and that's not true.
Yeah, that was State Representative Evan Goyke. He's going to join us after the break for a little bit more on this topic, talking about impeachment insanity here in Wisconsin on As Goes Wisconsin with your guest host, Joe Zepecki. Come on back on the other side of the break.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. 22 years later, the nation pauses to remember. Bells toll at New York's World Trade Center to mark the moment the North Tower fell on September 11th, 2001.
Shannon Lewis Adams.
Within earshot of the reading of the names, John Quinn, who just wanted to be close by where his friend Joyce Carpenetto died on what was the 83rd floor of the North Tower when it was attacked on 9/11.
I bring her picture, and I've got some roses I leave by her name.
He says he's come every year for the past 22 years to reflect and remember.
Every September 11th, for as long as I live, I'll be here.
He calls it his holy obligation. Derek Dennis, ABC News at the 9/11 Memorial in Lower Manhattan.
There are also remembrances at the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. President Biden is expected to make remarks later today. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Polk County Sheriff's Office has announced a motorcyclist died after crashing into a sign in western Wisconsin yesterday morning. According to the Sheriff's Office, authorities were alerted to the crash just before 5 a.m. and responded to the intersection of State Highway 35 and County Highway E in Lewis. They say the motorcyclist was traveling west on County Highway E and failed to round a curve before going off the road, hitting the sign, and landing in a thicket. The name of the motorcyclist was not released, and they were not wearing a helmet at the time of the crash. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has approved a new emergency rule to create a formal policy for ballot challenges for candidates. Republican Commissioner Bob Spindle urged the commission to kill the plan, stating the rule opens the door to use the 14th Amendment to keep former President Donald Trump off the ballot and predicts a flood of lawsuits over the rule change. The rule change was approved by a 5-1 vote, with Spindle as the only outlier. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five minutes.
Whoever was excited, and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am your guest host for the day, Joe Zepecki. Kristen will be back tomorrow. We're joined this hour by State Representative Evan Goyke, and we want to hear from you. We've actually got a couple of texts with questions for Representative Goyke already. Jane, what do we got?
From the 608 representative, ask how an attempt to impeach Justice Protasiewicz is even legal. Judicial Commission okayed her actions. She hasn't ruled on anything. So what stops her from ignoring the GOP assembly and continuing to hear and rule on cases? And why aren't the Democrats telling this truth?
Well, you know, the Constitution does give the assembly impeachment powers. And if you kind of look at the hierarchy of laws within the state, a constitutional provision trumps a statute, which trumps an administrative rule. So you know, in some law school textbook somewhere, the answer is the Constitution gives them the power to do that. The reason you've not heard of this before is because we don't use it, because it is a nuclear option that is reserved for when someone in office really has conducted themselves in an illegal manner. The text question about the Judicial Commission, I think, is really evidence that the behavior and the comments that Justice Protasiewicz had during her campaign are not illegal, do not rise to the level where she has to recuse herself on the case, and obviously do not rise to the level of impeachment. But the power does exist in the state constitution.
And this is really important. I want to press on this. This is a question, like, what can judicial candidates say? Like, do they have First Amendment free speech rights? And the U.S. Supreme Court has, in fact, said they do. They get to answer questions like, and I don't know if you were listening earlier, Representative Kwaki, but from my standpoint, saying that these maps are rigged is about as controversial as saying water is wet, the sky is blue, and grass is green, right? We have Speaker Voss himself acknowledging the use of partisan political advantage as a criteria in these maps. We have a federal court in its rulings saying that they used partisan. So, like, this is not a controversial statement that she made. And the distinctions here when it comes to calls for recusal, or what, you know, when it's her versus someone else, I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole, but this is not a controversial statement. This is not like a new, like some new profound thing out of left field that she said, or do I have that wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. In the context of the exact comment and the political maps, a lower court held that the maps skew in the favor of the Republicans, and that it was a partisan advantage drawn into the maps. Now, they were ultimately overturned on other grounds. That record, that the maps of the Wisconsin state legislature favor Republicans, is not in controversy. It's that Republicans didn't appeal that and say, no, they're not. Right. They appealed it on other grounds, and they want you to ignore the fact that there has not been a court that has ruled that it, they've said it, that, you know, maybe they're legal under a really flawed and, you know, bad reading of the Constitution, and there's a lot of legal gymnastics to get there, but nobody said they weren't partisan advantage to the Republicans. So she literally stated a fact.
Right. 844-967-2789. If you have a question for Representative Kwaki or myself or Jane, any of us here on As Goes Wisconsin this half hour, we do have at least one more, but I also wanted to pick up on something else that is, I think, implied by that very smart question about what the Judicial Commission found with these ethics charges. So there's already been an adjudicated process, right? If a member of the court does something, there is a process where a member of the public, another attorney, can say, like, hey, we think this is out of bounds. And some of those complaints were lodged and they have been dismissed. But I think it speaks to a larger thing here, which is, this is the type of proceeding that, because of how ridiculous it is, could certainly find itself wrapped up in court for years and years to come, right? You can certainly conceive of a scenario where if the assembly impeaches, that there is a filing in court to say this is out of bounds, and then they have to go do that. Again, I don't think anybody wants to go through years and years of litigation when this shouldn't be that complicated, when, you know, we simply can get members of the Republican Party to practice a little bit of what I would call, like, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, and just stand up and say, like, this is nonsense and this is ridiculous. So are you concerned, or do you think this is likely to end up in court, or is the remedy Republicans just backing away from the precipice?
Well, there are different remedies, but the immediacy. So let's talk about what can be done and should be done right now, which is, we need to get every single one of the 99 members of the state assembly on record on where they stand. And I know that your audience has been asked ad nauseum to contact your elected official if you want, but this is the type of issue that it is bigger than calling them about the pending bill, Assembly Bill 10 or whatever. But write in, call in, ask for clarity, ask for where they stand, because this can be stopped. It can be stopped by 15, 16, 17 members of the Republican Assembly Caucus saying no to Robin Voss. So, you know, I want to explain a little bit more to one of the caller's questions about, you know, what happens. There is very little procedure in the state constitution for how the assembly goes about impeaching. The kind of precedent is a committee could be established to do an investigation. They could author articles of impeachment and then come up for a vote. That could take 2 months. That could take 2 weeks. There isn't a timeline that's set. And there's no real there's no real guidelines on what it looks like. Is it 10 people or 5 people that do this investigation? So we're in uncharted territory. And I wish I could join this show and provide clarity and certainty for the audience. But what we need to do now, you have the Defend Justice campaign going on, and I am so grateful for the people that are organizing the effort that didn't want to sit and wait. They wanted to be proactive to say, no, we'll get out in front and take this on head on and not just react to something, but be proactive. Be a part of that campaign by calling and writing in to the person that represents you and get their position on in writing, because we can stop this thing before it ever starts by getting those Republican members to say no.
And here's the first step in that. If you are listening to this and you go, this is nonsense, I want to do something, I want to be part of the Defend Justice campaign, go to defendjustice.com. That is a microsite that has been stood up, which is attempting to get all 132 members of the Wisconsin State Legislature on the record for where they stand on this. So if you go to defendjustice.com, I'm looking at it right now, you've got sort of a scoreboard up in the top right, in the Assembly and in the Senate, who is against removal, who is leaning against removal, who is undecided, and really not undecided is they just haven't been forced to answer this question yet. And then leaning towards removal, supporting removal. It's a nice little scoreboard. You can put in your address. It will spit up who your assembly and Senate members are, and you will see whether or not they have weighed in on this. And if they have weighed in, how they have weighed in. So here's why that's so important. And I, you know, as someone who serves in the legislature, like Representative Gwicky, you get these calls. They matter. And if, you know, one or two members of the Republican caucus in the state Senate say, no way, I'm not doing this, then it sort of allows us to move on and call out Representative Voss, Speaker Voss, and say, this is nonsense. It's not going anywhere. So what are you doing? And is that going to be enough? If we get one or two Republicans on record, do you think that this is what we do? Because I think that's the reason for why we need people calling and telling, especially Republican legislators, this is not okay. And we are going to remember this for a long time if you move forward with this.
Well, let me say this. Calls and emails and letters matter. They do. We read them. The position of constituents matter. I know there are a lot of people that just grumbled at me saying that on the radio because they've written and then they're a legislator. I'm not saying they'll automatically agree with you, but it is definitely a barometer of where the community that they represent are at. Let me say this. I know in the bowels of the hall of the Capitol, there are a ton of Republicans that don't want this to happen. They know that it is unprecedented. They know that it's a nuclear option. They know that it will just absolutely melt down the legislature, that the people will not like it, that there will be, you know, look, we went on a recall and it didn't work. And I think there are a lot of people that look in the rearview and say, that know from that experience that many voters that would otherwise been Democratic said, I just didn't like the idea of recall.
Yeah.
People will not like impeachment at all. Justice Protasiewicz has been on the bench for a month. She hasn't done anything yet. I mean, she's new. She hasn't even ruled on the case. People will hate this, and they know it, and they're nervous.
And
so the pressure is necessary.
And part of what they know they're going to hate is the rank hypocrisy. We have a little bit of sound from over the weekend up front, one of the Sunday news magazine shows, one of your colleagues, Republican Representative Tyler August, talking about this issue, and particularly listened to, I think, a nice job by the reporter, Matt Smith, asking a follow-up question about the different standards here. Can we play that, Jade?
Do you have the votes in the assembly if it gets to that?
We haven't even had those conversations yet. I mean, and I think it's because both myself and the speaker and the members of our caucus, we really believe that she's going to recuse herself because it's the reasonable and right thing to do.
Broaden this out for me for a second. If you look at other justices, for example, conservatives like Justice Hagedorn, for example, he's taken money from the Republican Party, previously called Planned Parenthood wicked. Before he was on the court, said he has committed himself to stopping abortion. I mean, so should he recuse himself on the abortion case?
Well, I think that this case is extremely different because of the way that it was politicized during the campaign. An individual saying what their own personal feelings are on an issue as personal as abortion, I view to be completely different than saying the maps are rigged, which is what the justice said, and indicating to her supporters and, frankly, the donors to the campaign that this is one of the centerpieces of her campaign and why she was running for the Supreme Court in the first place.
I'm just going to let Representative Glaike react to that.
It's too early to have a cocktail. It is hard sometimes. That is some gymnastics, right? I mean, you could even hear it in the representative's voice really trying to stretch it. Well, it's one thing to say Planned Parenthood's wicked, but no. There's a more history and hypocrisy to this as well. Liberals and liberal justices sought to define recusal rules for the Supreme Court in 2011. This is largely over massive contributions from WMC, and then they came back as litigants to have rulings that favored their membership. And the conservative justices, some of whom are still on the bench, said no.
Right.
They said no.
They wrote the recusal rules as they exist.
Yes, exactly right. They wrote the rules that Justice Protasiewicz is applying. They said no to altering them 10 years ago. So too bad, so sad. Sorry, Tyler, there isn't a distinction. Justice Protasiewicz is absolutely in her right to stay on the case. Impeachment is an absolutely terrible idea. It's just absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
And I'll go even one step further, and then I want to bring Jane in here. But in fact, Justice Protasiewicz has gone above and beyond the rules for recusal because she has preemptively said she will, in fact, recuse from any case that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is a direct participant in because of the support they gave her during the campaign. She doesn't have to do that. There's no rule that says she has to do that. She is, in fact, going above and beyond. And I think that's an important part of the context as well. Jane, did you have something?
Just real briefly, Representative Glaike, I would just think that the Republican voters should be outraged and furious that their representatives want to continue to stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 we don't hear you.
Well, yeah, and if I'm one of them, and I don't know what it's like to be a Republican, but this obsession with all of these power grabs prevents them from doing the work that they were elected to do in governing for the people of the state of Wisconsin.
Amen. That was State Representative Evan Glaike. Thank you for joining us this hour. I know you've got to get to caucus. DefendJustice.com is the website. We'll wrap up this conversation on the other side of the break here on As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you, sir.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with highs around 69. Northeast winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 47. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 62. Overcast. Highs around 65. Wednesday, under mainly sunny skies. 75 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 66.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn direct. WLAK.
Monday, Monday. So good to me. Monday morning.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am guest host Joe Zepecki, sitting in for Kristen. She'll be back tomorrow. Jane will be back tomorrow. Not sure if Charles will, but he's on the phone right now. Charles from Green Bay, what do you got?
You know, okay. Donald Trump tried to rip us off for our votes in Wisconsin. What else is new? I mean, Janet Protasiewicz won by a margin of 11 points. I think my vote is just as important as Robin Voss's or Tyler August's. No, these guys are just playing a game. My thought is this. Before you go impeach Janet Protasiewicz, why don't you clean out your own closets? There's got to be some skeletons in those closets that would get you impeached for doing something there, Robin Voss, mm-hmm. and all the people who are Republicans in that you know, the House and all that, whatever. It's ridiculous. The woman voiced her opinion. And as everyone knows, opinions are like, but we're not going to say it. And everybody's got one.
That's right. Well,
so, you know, it's there.
Yeah, it's nonsense. Thank you, Charles. Keep up the intensity. Please visit defendjustice.com. Tell your friends up there in the northeast part of the state, quite a few Republican members of the legislature who, if we can get on record, we can hopefully try to knock this off. Thanks for the call, Charles. Next up, we have Marty from Milwaukee.
844-967-2789. Good morning, Marty.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and I'll be brief with the time and everything, but I'm just a Milwaukee guy trying to figure out what's going on, and I appreciate what you're saying about the redistricting and how that hurts future voters and so forth, and it's not fair or American for the representatives to be able to pick their voters. I think that's what's going on. But if I may, you know, in Milwaukee, we had an illegal election in 2020, April of 2020, when the mayor's election took place. No Democrats said anything about moving election voting sites and so forth and so on. That was illegal. No Democrats said anything.
Well, let me challenge there, Marty.
We just had an election and a chance to get rid of Ron Johnson, and we were not allowed to pick our candidate. Now, Mr. Barnes would have won, probably, and so forth and so on, but the enthusiasm was taken out when people were not allowed to pick their candidate. And now, just recently, we have a 2% sales tax increase in Milwaukee, $186 million coming out of the pockets of the fourth poorest city in America, and not a Democrat said anything negative about that. And the people, again, were not allowed to vote. What are we doing? We're replacing one bad party with another bad party that either one of them just sticks it to Milwaukee. How long do we have to put up with being stuck in Milwaukee? We should be leading this charge.
Well,
I'm sorry, I get a little emotional.
No, that's okay,
you.
Marty. I appreciate the perspective. And as we queue up the next call, I just want to touch on a few things that Marty said there. In April of 2020, Governor Tony Evers and Democrats tried to, under the laws, postpone that election so that it could be conducted in a more safe manner. This was the onset of the COVID pandemic, we had a lot more questions than we had answers. And due to the makeup of the state Supreme Court at that point, we were not able to move that. So Democratic officials like then Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett did the best they could under very difficult circumstances, but they certainly tried. And because of the makeup of the state court, it couldn't be done. In terms of the primary in 2022, the people did vote. The people voted for Mandela Barnes. You can feel a way about how that primary played out, but the candidates made their choices. Nobody orchestrated that. Nobody forced that to happen. And Barnes was going to win that primary. And ultimately, all of this, what it means in speaking to Marty's frustration around things like the sales tax, that was the best deal we were going to get with a Republican legislature that has such a gerrymandered map. And so that, to me, that's the takeaway. If you don't like that raw deal, or in your mind, a raw deal for the city of Milwaukee, you should care about this maps issue, and you should want Republicans to back down from this fight before they take the unprecedented step of removing Justice Protasiewicz, despite the fact she has not committed a crime, despite the fact she has not done anything unethical. The maps are a key to that, and getting a better deal for Milwaukee, which, believe me, as another Milwaukee guy, I want to see. Thanks for the call, Marty. I think we got time for one more. Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, my guess is that Judge Protasiewicz got hammered either way on that when she was asked that question on whether the maps are rigged or not, because her not answering that question would be just as clearly answering it as well as her answering. Because let's face it, Dan Kelly actually said, "Well, the maps are just fine with him." And let's remember that Justice Ziegler, as was reminded on the media lately, 11 times she apparently presided over cases as a district judge that her husband was actually a party to as part of a member of a bank board or president of a bank board, that she should have recused herself in those cases. And it wasn't brought up strongly enough when she was up for election the first time, nor the second time. And I actually wrote a letter to the editor the first time because I'd heard that she had judged that. And I knew as a public employee at the time, it was a violation of ethics to judge on that case. And they're not getting hammered. She's not getting hammered on that on a daily basis. So for Judge Protasiewicz to actually say what everybody knew, everybody across the country knows, that Wisconsin's maps are among the most gerrymandered politically in the country, and that for anybody to think to say otherwise is either a liar or a fool. Yeah. And I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call.
We had another texter, Joe, by the way, who wants the website for Defend Justice.
DefendJustice.com.
Call. Write. Email. Do it.
Go to DefendJustice.com. Type in your address. It'll spit out who your state legislators are, where they stand on this, if they are standing anywhere, and the means to contact them by phone or by email. What have we learned today, Jane? We've learned that water is wet, sky is blue, although not really today, I guess.
Not so much.
Grass is green, and the Green Bay Packers still own the Chicago Bears. Thanks for having me in for Kristen Bry on the Civic Media Network. Kristen will be back tomorrow. Jane, do you know what's on tap?
For tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is that part of my job? I forgot.
I wasn't sure. I don't know how this place runs.
We're going to have guests. We're going to have things. We'll have games.
It's going to be more fun because Kristen's going to be here. It's going to be less dry, less boring.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Always join the conversation at 844-967-2789 on As Goes Wisconsin. You can also hear me on Up North with Pat Kreitlow on Thursday mornings. I would guess I'll be back at some point. I don't think this is the one where they fire me for all time from serving as a fill-in.
Gosh, I hope not.
I hope not either. I had fun with it. I hope you had fun. Welcome back from your travels, Jane.
Thank you.
Congratulations to the Packers and Jordan Love. Let's hope Coach Fickell and the Badgers get it together this week. And let's hope Wisconsin Republicans do the right thing. They get a little bit of that Brian Kemp inspiration and back down from impeachment insanity. This was As Goes Wisconsin, Monday, September 11th.
Monday, it's here to stay. Oh, Monday.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the ABC Civic News, Media app.